meeting discussing the policy management process system on the 14th of November 2014. On the call today we have Yasuchi Kitamura, Gordon Silcott, Devin Antaluk-Singh, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Gwen McKnight, and Sarah Kidden. We have an apology from Alien Michel. And from staff we have Ariel Young and myself, Matthew Peregrin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Dev.
Thank you so very much, Natalie. This is Devin Antaluk-Singh, Chair of the Technology Task Force, and I should say co-chair of the Technology Task Force now at this point. So on this call today, we are going to be looking at one of the key Atlas II recommendations coming out of the At-Large Summit at London, and that is regarding Recommendation 26. Recommendation 26 reads as follows. Let me just read it for the record. Current policy management processes within ICANN are insufficient. ICANN must implement a workable policy management process system available for use across the supporting organizations and advisory committees in order to, and several bullet points here, enhance knowledge management, improve the effectiveness of all ICANN volunteer communities, improve cross-community policy-specific activity, enhance policy development metrics, facilitate multilingual engagement, create a taxonomy of policy categories, and provide policy development history as an aid for newcomers. The Atlas II Implementation Group assigned this task to three working groups, the Technology Task Force, Social Media, and the Capacity Building Working Groups. And given that we are supposed to present at the next ICANN meeting in February how this recommendation is going to be implemented, I thought it would be useful to have a special purpose call to start a discussion on this particular recommendation. Just to give some background from this recommendation came from thematic group 5 from the which was dealt with at-large engagement in ICANN, and I believe since then the recommendation was discussed by the SOAC chairs, and there was some broad agreement that the current policy management process in ICANN is insufficient, and so there is some. I think this really has the potential to change ICANN and the AACs and SOs for the better. So, I'm trying to think what would be our first step in trying to understand this, or how do we think we should look at how we should try to write something to implement this. Within at ICANN, there is now a new person, the Chief Innovation Ashwin Raghan, who is a sort of a CIO, and I wanted to really for ourselves to have some clear ideas of what we want in a policy management process system before we schedule a future call with him. So this is probably the first one to try to brainstorm the exact what we want in this system. I've described the policy management process system within ICANN as a kind of something from the 20th century, in that it's a very manual process. The various SOs and ACs fill out a form, which is then handed over to the web development team at ICANN, which then puts it up on a web page. And I'm trying to find the right analogy. It's like what happens then is that we do the equivalent of scribbling down the notes on virtual pieces of paper and send it out to everybody, where it's copied and rewritten and sent out again to all the various persons. So it's not integrated in any way at all. And it's a very manual process that is to look at the policy, to look at comments even. A mailing list is typically set up, but it's not really intuitively aware of where this mailing list is, where you can see the comments. You're not notified when there are comments posted, for example. And as an adjunct, for our at-large policy development process, it's a lot of manual copying copying and pasting and retyping of information, which I think is being handled quite well, but by at-large staff, in particular Ariel Yang, the policy coordinator. But it does take up a lot of time to do that. It's time-consuming because it's a manual process. So, so I think I'll just stop here at this point and just open the floor to any comments or questions or observations.
Olivier?
If anybody wishes to take so. Olivier, please go ahead.
Yes. Thanks very much, Dave. It's Olivier speaking. So thanks for the introduction. And I just wanted to add one small thing. At the time when I was chair, I did share this concept with other SO and AC chairs. There wasn't very much response at the time because not all of the chairs were totally aware of what they were doing in their own community. But the SSAC has already started some work with ICANN IT and with the Chief Information and Innovation Officer, Ashwin Rangan, on another system which is more like a document processing system. They have very strict guidelines on how they draft documents. And so they're looking at a system that would provide different types of priority of privilege to different people who draft documents together. We make use, of course, of the wikis to draft things together. We make use of Google Docs. The SSAC has sometimes some very sensitive documents that they draft, and therefore they are unable to make use of Google Docs, and they certainly do not use the wiki either. So in a way, there is some work that has started, and they're at a very early stage as well. But I'm not 100% convinced that this is the sort of thing that we would be looking at. I apologize.
Olivier,
Olivier,
can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Okay, the echo's gone. So, in effect, yeah, what our community would really benefit from is having a system that would manage the flood of information that comes to their mailbox first, so some way to reduce the amount of information that comes to their mailbox, and that goes hand in hand with a taxonomy of the different topics that the at-large has to comment on. And from that taxonomy, having a system that would only notify subject experts in our community or people who are interested in specific topics in our community about the process and make it as easy for them to be able to, one, take part in the processes, so not just with the mailing lists which flood your mailbox, but obviously point them to the right locations where we are currently working on a document or on a statement or on a project, and at the same time track the progress for everyone. It's become, with so many threads, so many things happening in parallel, it has become increasingly hard to keep track of everything. And so the whole concept of tracking is something to really help. And I would suggest that we independently put together what our requirements are, what we think would be cool, would be good, and not put any barriers to what we would like to see. And then afterwards, of course, we will be able to take it over to Ashwin Rangan and see what can be done and work with the IT department in finding out how much that would cost, if it's a multi-year project, if it's... I don't believe it's something that we can do in 3 months. You know, it's not a project that can be implemented right there and then. It's something that's much more complex. That's a longer-term project, but if we don't write the recommendations and the details, a little bit like the spec sheet, if you want, of what we need, that really is a first step forward. If we don't do that, then we're not going to get anywhere, and unfortunately, we might have a system that is imposed on us that doesn't even do 10% of what we would like it to do. So that's the purpose of the start that we are at now, and let your imagination work on this. That's it, I think, for the time being. And I'm sorry, I'm not on the on the Adobe because I'm traveling, so I'll be shouting my name out if I need to intervene, if that's okay with you, Dave.
Okay, this is Dave. Certainly shout away when you want to make an intervention. Okay, I see Gordon. Gordon, go ahead.
Thank you, Dev. Gordon Chilcott, for the record. A couple of observations. What I heard from you, and that was a rather good description of the situation, is in part, at least, a communication problem. If I can add to that a little bit, there's a time course problem. One of the items in here seeks to improve the effectiveness of the ICANN volunteer communities. One of the factors that has to be borne in mind is the turnaround time inside that community. My own ALS is a face-to-face meeting organization which exists within the greater area of a city, Toronto. But even with us getting together to discuss something and to come up with a recommendation as an ALS is rather difficult to do. I've short-circuited that in my own ALS rather heavily just in the last little while because of a survey that came out that I'm trying to get input on. But this is not easy. One of the difficulties, as you know, with getting commentary back from the community is the fact that it's very difficult for most ALSs to get together and discuss it. So what you wind up with, in a lot of cases, unfortunately, is the personal view of the primary contact of the ALS who's in that organization. And for me, at least, trying to engage my own ALS, that's not good enough. So that is a reality that has to be borne in mind here, because what you have is that information going out to the communities in an attempt to get some response back from them.
Okay. All right. Indeed. Gordon, thanks. This is Dave. Just two observations here. And of course, anybody else can raise their hand if you want to add any comments here. But Olivier, indeed, I think one of the challenges, I think, with the policy management process system is that it's very hard to find out what's the situation of how this policy comment or issue is being tackled within the other ACs and SOs. And I think we are often accused of working in silos and not trying to do more cross-community type, being aware of what the other communities are thinking. So if the system would allow for, okay, here's the policy that's being worked on, or a policy that's out for public comment, here's the spaces or the wiki pages or the document where these particular ACs and SOs are working on, I think that will obviously go a long way, because often what's happening afterwards is that positions are taken at the end or close to the end of the public comment, and it's very hard to reconcile any differences and so forth. And I think an observation I've noted is that the ICANN board is often saying that for the advisory committees that we need to be more involved in the policy development and rather not just commenting at the end of the policy. But it's very hard to do that when it's very hard to find out what is happening in the SOs. Gordon, I think indeed the communication challenge is to get the information out there, then get the information so it goes out to the primary ALS contacts, then they are supposed to be trying to get feedback from within the at-large structure. And indeed, what I suspect what is happening is that a lot of times the primary ALS representative and maybe one or two persons are the ones able to, well, basically have to speak on behalf of the ALS. So the idea of, the ALS representatives sent it out to the ALS and to the public and gather the input there and channel it back up, that doesn't happen. And I think, unfortunately, the time frames that are given for public comments for 21 days, in some cases, sometimes 30, although I believe the policy comment period will be changing. I'm just trying to remember what was the last communication on this from David Olive. But the time period for responding to these public comments is going to be improved or be increased. So any other comments or questions? I think Glenn has posted quite a few stuff in the chat. Glenn, you want to just take the floor? Thank you. Glenn McKnight.
Hi, it's Glenn McKnight for the record. There's this task, it's huge. It's like eating an elephant, and where do you start? And you start with the first bite. And this is not an easy situation because if you look at the scope of the project, it also starts talking about stuff like how do I limit the number of emails? How do I get them efficiently? How do I make sure that I have adequate time to comment? This is a serious problem with ICANN, and it's just not limited to policy. Action items, for example, get buried or lost or never to be seen again, or with Rails. This is quite a serious situation. But just on the policy front, I had the opportunity to be at Aaron in Chicago, and I was studying their processes for bringing in public comment. And I've given a flowchart, a link to the flowchart, but what's interesting is there, the link that I just shared with you, with the Aaron policy development process, it has five basic steps. And I'll just be very quick. Need, discussion, consensus, implementation, and evaluation. I think there's some really good wording here. I think they have a very well-documented, you'll see in the flowchart I shared with you, it might be an easy way for us to study best practice and look at how we can, if it fits, massage the content to make sure it works properly. Because if we go back to the chief innovation officer and we want a tool, what is this? Is this a hammer? Is this a jackhammer? Is it a stick of dynamite? We have to very well define the need and what the problem is. And then the second stage is that some of the mechanisms or tools, because I know in my case, we did a project with IEEE and the UN Foundation on humanitarian technologies, and it was an excellent tool similar to what we're trying to do, but guess what? People didn't use it. So that's my comment.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thanks, Glenn, for that. And it's an interesting flowchart. I recall that we do also have flowcharts of our policy management, how we handle policies. There is a one-pager. And I recall for the at-large improvements, there was a kind of a detailed flowchart as how we would handle the responses within the 21 days, 30-day period, comment period. And I could find the links I've got of that and share that with you. I think I found that for the at-large improvements. Ah, and Ariel has found it for the policy advice chart. Excellent. So you could see what similarities are between the ARIN and the how the ALAC policy advice development process chart works. And there's a far more detailed one that was done for at-large improvements back in 2011. And I think I found a link here, so I'll just post the link to that here. So, So I'm trying to figure out what I suppose the effective way to do it would be to scope out the current document, we document the issues, problems, and then make such suggestions as to possible solutions to these problems. I assume that will probably be the way forward. Glenn, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, that's an old one.
Oh, okay. No problem. I suspect the way to do it would be to document the current policy management processes as to why it's insufficient. I think we covered a few of the points. A lot of manual copying and pasting. You have to receive everything because there's no taxonomy. So whether you're interested in in who is IANA, you just have to get everything. And there's no way for you to set your permissions to say, okay, I'm not really interested in WHOIS, but I am interested in IANA, or I am interested in new GTLDs, or so forth. And then you get a tailored communication when the policy that's of interest to you is being commented on or being worked on. Okay. So I think that's probably what we need to do: document the policy management processes within ICANN, and then spend some time documenting why it's insufficient. Then we look at, okay, those were the problems. Here are some of the solutions. Gordon? Go ahead.
Gordon, for the record, I just noticed something. Going over this list, one of the items is improved cross-community policy-specific activities. I just realized somewhere deep in the bowels of things here, isn't there a working group just studying the formation, creation, and chartering of cross-community working groups?
This is Dave. Indeed, that is being worked on. I'm not particularly following it myself directly, but yes, there is within the GNSO, there is a group working on, which is intended also to be a cross-community working group on how cross-community working groups can be chartered. I could try to find that policy. Does anybody have an idea about that issue?
Olivier?
Olivier, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dave. It's Olivier speaking. So there is indeed a cross-community working group working on this topic of how to form cross-community working groups. Unfortunately, its progress has been extremely slow, and so far, all of the more recent cross-community working groups have not been created in using any specific rules. This has been ad hoc. We've managed to find a way to get a team together first to draft the charter and then passing it on over to the rest of the people who are part of the cross-community working group once it is formed. I would suggest that we don't wait until the cross-community working group on cross-community working group yields results, because I have a feeling its progress is going to be in the way of months, many months, rather than earlier. But really, as a start, I think you've really put your finger on it. We need to find what our challenges are, where the challenges of our community are, and we already have plenty of knowledge about that, and start proposing things that, IT-related or processes that would really help us. You, for example, touched on the overload of information that is received by people in their mailbox. It goes further than that. Once they then go, let's say, on a WHOIS-related inquiry public comment, once they go on that page, that should also include all of the background to it, all of the previous statements that the ALAC has had as far as WHOIS is concerned, all of the work that has been done by the registration data services expert working group and the WHOIS working groups that took place in the GNSO, the whole lot, basically, so that we really have a one-stop shop where someone, even if somebody is interested in the topic but has no idea about it, they could teach themselves very quickly about it because they'd have all the information at hand and then be able to form their mind on it and build something on top of it. as you said, as Glenn said, this is a, how do you build an elephant? It's a huge thing. And maybe at the moment we can just bring forth all the things that we would need, and then we would have to prioritize them afterwards, and when we can then present them over to Ashwin and say, well, step one, we really need something that will do this. Step two, we'll have another module that will graft onto that, that will then go further. Step three, another module, and the whole thing becomes just one large piece of IT and processes, because I don't believe just a tool is going to do the work. There's going to have to be some people running the tool, some people in charge of it,
yeah.
Both on the volunteer side and on the staff side. It's all about accompanying people through the process of then using those tools when they will be available. I spoke for a little bit more than I thought, but that's my thought for the time being. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Olivier. This is Dave speaking. Okay, so I think that's also thinking about it. I think also if you look at the current public comment page on ICANN, I mean, I think what we can do is we can start documenting, okay, so this is how the various ACs and SOs are supposed to work. And you go to this page, and we can't search, there's no way to find a history. And I think this is probably the way to approach it. And we could probably take a screenshot of the public comment page and just point out, you know, we can even illustrate it. How can we find things? How can we search for things? You really have to really dig a lot if you wanted to find out what was the policy updates that happened in, say, last year or 2 years ago. It's very difficult. I do note that, I see Glenn Hahn is raised. Go right ahead.
You know, I have to reiterate, we may be very rich in policy, but very poor in capacity. You can come up with lots of different policies, but they have no light of day, there's no money behind it, and no will. So, you know, there's a reality check on what we're doing that has to be considered.
Okay. All right, and I see, Glenn. Also, I see Judith's comments that, read this carefully, her comment is that the current policy statements that only ELAC can vote on are sent to everyone, even when they cannot vote or take part at that point. Actually, Judith, that's not quite true. How the at-large policy process works is that the policy, when it's created, the ICANN at-large staff, Ariel, creates a wiki page for it, and Ariel posted the chart. And the idea is that the whole at-large community communicates about their thoughts about this policy, and then a pen holder is then assigned who tries to take all those comments into account, and then only then at the final stage does the ALAC vote on it. So it's supposed to be a bottom-up process. Let's see. Just thinking a little bit also, one of the things that's also been worked on is our at-large website, and there's a website design team. One of the things that's going to be happening on the website, and it comes back to that taxonomy, I think, is we do have something like called a topic area, where the idea being is that if you're interested in only a particular topic, you will be able to click onto that that section of the website, like labeled Who Is or New GTLDs or whatever, and you would get like some sort of policy history background. The intent is to have some sort of background about what this topic means, and then a sort of policy history of policies related to this topic was announced. I see Ariel is right on it and actually posted the link to that wireframe idea. So I think that, you know, that kind of, this kind of having that taxonomy, having persons subscribe to only those topics, they can, it could lead to less emails, less the deluge of emails going to everybody. So it's going to be much more, hopefully much more streamlined. Murray, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
We're not quite hearing you, Murray. This is Dave. You may be muted. Okay. Well, you're gonna dial in. Okay. Not a problem. All right. Well, while Murray dials, gets connected. Let's see. I'm trying to think, but while Murray gets connected, Ariel, since you're the policy coordinator, do you want to have share any insights of what's been said so far regarding the policy development process?
Thank you very much, Dave. This is Ariel for the transcript. So for the policy development process, the first step is that when we receive a public comment request, I will create a wiki workspace for that, and then I will contact the chair, before was Olivier and now is Alan, and ask whether we need to issue a statement, who I should contact regarding this public comment request, and then they will point me to the contact person, and then I will ask the person whether we need a statement, and then that person will tell me whether we need a statement or not. And then usually they will become the pen holder for a statement if they decide to issue one. And so this field staff is a little bit limited, even though we know that all the at-large community people can write a statement, but because of that process, only a few people were initially contacted, so kind of limit the scope in a way that only a few people can participate in the drafting process. But now when the first draft is uploaded to the wiki workspace, we send out the call for comments email so that all the community members can comment on that statement. So that's open to all, which is great. And then after the comment process closed, the pen holders, they will finalize the draft, incorporating the suggestions they received, and then upload the final draft to the wiki space for the 15 ALAC members to vote on. And then we will send out that announcement. The ALAC is voting on this statement. But then sometimes some members, they get confused, and then they said, oh, why I didn't get vote credential or a link to the pool. And I think that part, not everybody is very educated. It's only 15 people can vote, but not everybody knows about that. So that's a part, you know, we need to build capacity for. And then at the end, after the vote ended, usually when a statement going through votes, we already know they're going to pass. So it's a very rare incident that, you know, some statement didn't get passed. So anyhow, and then when they're passed, I will make them into a PDF document with an introduction, which is drafted by me, and then detailing the process, how the statement was made. And then I will summarize the statement in collaboration with the chair. And then I will submit that to the public comment process and ask the web admin to publish it on our website. Mm-hmm. So that's the process.
Okay. Thanks for that succinct summary of the policy development process. And again, I note that a lot of the things are manual process. You have to ask the website team to update a website and so forth. And hopefully these manual processes will be, these handing off as I call it, you know, writing on a piece of paper and asking somebody else to toss it to another department would become much less. I hope that, Judith, you understand a little bit more of the policy process. Murray, are you connected now? Unable to make your comments? Okay, Glenn, Glenn has beat you to it. Glenn, go ahead.
Hi, it's Glenn. I didn't beat him to it. I don't know what happened to him. I just put my hand up and he disappeared. So I'm not sure what happened to Murray. I just want to get something clear on the policy process. So I understand how an idea goes through the process currently. I'm just curious on some numbers. How much participation is there in terms of public comment? Are we having the same old suspects doing comments? Or, you know, we have over, 128 ALSs. I'm just curious on what percentage of people actually are participating in these policies.
Okay. Well, this is Dave. I suppose this will probably be something that we will have to look at on our side of the thing, of how the ALSs are engaged in it. I see Olivier, I think, wants to say something. Olivier, do go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks very much, Dave. It's Olivier speaking. Very good question from Glenn here. It really depends on the topic. There are times when you have a couple dozen people that will read it, that might make comments, that might discuss it. There are times when you just have one or two, you know, just the usual suspects. What's sure is that it's not enough. We need a lot more people to be able to read this and to be able to understand it and comment on it. The problem, of course, is the barrier is there. They land on this page, so they receive the announcement in their mailbox. They land on the page. They're straight into the topic, and they might just feel discouraged just reading the introduction and thinking, oh, God, I don't know enough about this to even make a comment about that, because they have no idea about the history of it, as you mentioned. They have no idea about any previous statements that might have been made and so on. So there's obviously much to be done for that.
Right, indeed. Thanks, Olivier. I thought I saw Ariel's hand up just now. Perhaps she was about to say something very similar. But Ariel, have anything else to add?
Yes, thanks, Dave. So I'm just pasting the policy development pipeline to the chat, and then you can see there's one column called assignees. That's the names of the town holders. And if you have a quick glimpse through it, they're mostly ALAC members. If not ALAC members, then RALO leaders. And then, but recently we had one person, Thomas Lovenport, I think it's, Lovenhoff, yes, he is a NARALO ALS representative, and then he, in collaboration with Raf and Liam, drafted a statement on the GAC subgroup geographic names. So that's encouraging. But most of the town holders, they're either ALAC members or RALO leaders at this point. Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Ariel. This is Dave. Just to add some other additional comments, I agree with what Olivia and Ariel said. The thing is, though, mind you see the pen holders there, but sometimes you don't really see the big amount of discussion that happens on a mailing list or on a working group mailing list to discuss the issue. And sometimes there may be a lot of comments on the wiki page that's open to all members of the community. So there is some interaction there. I mean, the pen holder is the one that crafts the statement based on the feedback on the discussion. Sometimes that feedback is not enough, and that pen holder has to really come and make a judgment call as to what the at-large community wants. And at least this is approved by what the 50-member ALAC committee when they look at the statement and so forth. But just the pen holders alone aren't the sole persons. I'm just trying to point out that. I remember for one of the policy comments that I was working on, there was like like 40 or 50 emails on this issue within a short period of time. So there's an interaction there, but probably it's not as visible or it's not easily seen. And that's why we always encourage, even though the email discussion happens, it's hard. It's ideally the best thing is to have it on the wiki, so it's all the community comments and feedback happens on one location rather than multiple locations. But you know, that's a challenge. Sometimes that happens on the Skype chat, for example, which is not easily linkable. But so let me see. Murray, are you able to connect now or to make your comments? Okay, Gordon. Sorry. Well, Gordon, go ahead. Oh, I see. Yeah, you're still waiting for a dialogue. Go ahead.
What I'm hearing, I think, is an old problem that we've been having, and that's engagement. You can post something for public comment, and I remember the first few times I looked at something that was there for a public comment, what I was being asked to comment on was something that I was going to have to do a serious amount of digging before I could make any intelligent statement on it. We're going to have to find a way to make the things on which people are going to comment a little bit more clear, or at least invite them a little bit to engage somehow. I'm looking at this policy advice development process chart, and I'm seeing what I'm seeing is a kind of a logjam right at the very first block. I think part of the difficulty is to get people at least interested in a topic enough to keep them on it so they can make their comments on that wiki page, and at least get that part of the ball rolling. Now, the penholder is going to be very, very badly handicapped if there's a wiki page there and there's no comments.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Gordon. Let's see. Okay.
Dave, I have to go through security control. It's Olivier at the moment, so I'll be unplugged from my ears for a few minutes. But
okay. Go ahead.
And you might hear some noises and things, but I'll put it on mute.
No problem. Okay. Ariel, go ahead.
Thanks, Dave. This is Ariel. Just want to comment on Gordon's comment about the process. In our revamped at large website, we are actually having a page envisioned. It's called Get Involved. And on that page, we will have a section about the policy development process. And we're in the process writing that section just to make it crystal clear to any member or newcomer to understand how this process works. So hopefully this will help people to understand and be able to get involved in that process. That's just one thing I want to add. And it's in the process. We're doing that writing part at this moment. But of course, we would like a welcome input from the community. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Ariel. This is Dave Anand here. I was just scrolling through the comments while Murray is sorting out his connection problems to be able to speak. So Murray had typed in, are the processes insufficient and will technology apply to a poor process help? I guess it's one of those chicken and egg situations, right? If people aren't informed, then how are they going to be able to effectively participate? And so my thinking is, it's a bit of both. Certainly, the improvements to the process could happen, but it does need a. I won't say it's a technology alone. It's more of a it's how the management system happens at ICANN itself. Right now, it's a kind of, how should I put it? It's almost as like the way the commenting system works. This is a more personal observation. Maybe people won't agree with me. That the ALAC is almost seen as almost like an outside. We might as well be commenting on something outside of ICANN, in a sense of the way this thing is presented is so very distant to us. And it's because the information is posted on that static web page, and it's very difficult to extract the information. And we've noted some of the issues here in that, it's very hard to find the information, find the history. You know, if you do a search, you may just find up on a lot of topics that it's very difficult for anybody to make sense of. And it's very discouraging, I think, to any newcomer, as has been also mentioned on the call, to just look at this and say, oh, this is just too much. I can't make sense of this. So I think what the policy management process system, I think as I envisage it, is that it's going to be something that's personalized to you, you know. So as you as ALS, you have a particular interest in, say, who is, and because you are very interested in privacy, for example, you will get more communication about that issue, and you'll be able to see. Not what other people are, not just what's happening in your, in the ALAC, but what also other people are commenting on, from the various GNSO constituencies and maybe the SAC and so forth, and that helps you build a better understanding of this policy issue. So, Glenn, go ahead.
Because of time, I'll be very brief. I think. Dev, you're getting into the moving forward, some of the mechanics of what this new system will do, such as sorting and refinement. And Judith brought a point up earlier, too, about unnecessary volume of communication to people who are not in the process. My comment is that I would really like to see a communication expert read our communication, look at how things are being forwarded to the wider community, and assess whether or not we're doing a good job. I think plain English is lacking. I think there's a lot of policy wonks that love this sort of stuff, but the vast majority of people want plain English. They want things summarized as abstract. And we need some work in that area as well. It's not just the policies, but how we communicate, you know, in simple abstracts and simple ideas, and the relevance of what this policy, and that's what's really missing.
Yes. This is, okay, yes, and I see some hands now raised there, and I see applause from, and plus one from Judith and Gordon. On your comments, and indeed, I think obviously one of the things I'm also envisaging for the at large, at least, our policy process is that when the policy comes out for comments, ideally what will happen is that because it's the persons who are most interested in the topic, and they could, I guess we could probably consider them subject matter experts, could then respond and then perhaps elaborate as to why should I care? Because when you see something like IRTP Part D process system, well, it's not obvious as to why should I even bother to read that. But if you have registered for domain name and you want to switch between a registrar, this is important to you. And then you might say, oh, okay. This is something I need to be interested in because I'm interested in that particular issue. So a kind of why should I care section could probably happen. But right now it's too much right now with the flood of emails coming in and just copying. The process of announcing it to people in itself takes up some time. So that part of why should I care probably isn't as apparent until much later on towards the end of the end of the public comment period. Sorry about that. So I saw Murray and okay, Murray, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Yes, it's Murray speaking. Just checking to see if you can hear me.
This is Dave. We can hear you.
Yep. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, we can
hear sorry
you
for delaying getting connected. So I just, as part of the process, decided to do a search on Who Is, and I stuck it in the chat a little while ago. So there is a search capability on ICANN.org, and I just was curious to see what would show up if I put Who Is in. And I did that. My question was, is where is that information coming from? Because it's like a start, say, I want to know what the whole discussion about Who Is, and it goes back to 2001, and it continues on through all sorts of things. So if you actually go to that page, anyone who wants to go to that page and do a search, to me that's like, how do I start with ICANN and Who Is? And that's what I was put up. So does anyone know where that data comes from? Is it all the archived ICANN data about Who Is? And do I have multiple ways of searching it? Just a question. Thanks.
Okay, well, okay. This is Dave. Well, I actually, if you notice, the search is kind of strange because if you start interacting with the left, you start seeing a lot more options being presented. So in terms of how to refine the search, for some reason, it's a little bug in the English version. If you were to click on a different language version, you would see some other options start popping up to break this down even further. But even so, the problem is that it's all very static web pages, and it's, how should I put it, I don't know how to describe it. This is kind of like a dumb search in a sense that all this is doing is just finding if the word "who is" mentioned in a policy statement or in a text that was issued by any ECSO. So it's not really structured in any way. There's no timeline as to say what happened here, what happened there, and obviously what would require some sort of somebody doing a proper write-up to really put all of these things into context. Because right now we have, of course, there's no context to any of these things. It's just like okay. Oh, I see. I see. We're almost coming up to the top of the hour here, and I think I think we're getting some ideas gelling in our head as to what we need to do. Let's see. We've heard from quite a few persons, but there's a few persons on the call that haven't said anything, and I just want to give them the opportunity. Kitamura, I hope I pronounced your surname correctly. Do you have any comments or observations? You could, take the microphone, or you could type something in the chat. Similarly, Frank, Dosu, if you also have any thoughts or comments.
Sorry.
Ah, Olivier, I see Olivier wants to make an intervention. Go ahead. Okay, maybe not. Okay, no, maybe not. I see Tejani has also joined the call. Tejani, do you have any? You came in. What we have done was say we've just, one of the things moving forward is that we need to document how the current policy management processes are insufficient, and that gives us a starting point of once we've identified the problems, then we can think of brainstorming solutions or ideas of how those problems can be alleviated. Do you have any comments? Because as it's coming up to the top of the hour. Sorry. So Kitamura is usually at the policy development process of APNIC. So, okay, that's interesting. And I think, Glenn, you pointed out Aaron's policy development process. So maybe one of the steps is also actually looking at, and I think this has also brought our attention during the LA meeting, and it's probably something we need to do, study the policy development processes at the RIRs to see, you know, whether there's some insights as to how they manage their policy management process. Like, how does a policy get put up for comment and so forth and things like that?
Yeah, that's why I shared the links in the five-step process and the flowchart of Aaron. It's very similar to the other locations, but I can tell you, I sat through the policy process, and it's very efficient, and I think it's a good model for us to duplicate.
Okay, all right. So I think, maybe that's one of those action items then, is to document, at least provide, get the documented links to the policy development processes at the RIRs. I think that's probably one action item we could look at, and then that, and by reviewing that, maybe we can get further insights to the ICANN process. Captain Mura has also posted in the chat that he's at the policy meeting. Usually, he's at the policy you're at the policy development process of APNIC, but ICANN looks to be a little different from the APNIC and needs to get more opinions based on culture or language and so on. So, okay. And actually, it also brings up another point here, the facilitate the multilingual engagement. Right now, the multilingual engagement is sort of like a tacked-on afterthought, putting it mildly, in a sense that a policy is released for public comment and is only English. And then what happens is that several days later, language services provides the translated documents, and it's kind of uploaded silently to the public comment page, you know. So if you're not checking back frequently, you're going to miss it. So sometimes I think that it's a disservice to the for our diverse multilingual community, because they're missing out. Because potentially, once something is not in their language, it's kind of like, well, that's that for me. There's no need for me to be involved. But if at the onset, different language versions are available of the policy that's under for comment is available, they could probably, as I say, they could set their personalization as a Spanish speaker. Say, I want to see all the links of the policy comments in Spanish, for example. So that's one aspect that we could also look at in terms of documenting. Okay, I think multiple persons are typing, and we're coming up to the top of the hour. Anybody else wants to take the floor to say anything? And thanks, Katamura, for your comments. Olivia, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dave. I'm just about to board my flight. I think as next steps, we should be able to perhaps make a full shopping list of what we would need out of a policy management system. I think we've discussed a lot of very good points here, which is great.
Yeah.
Put them on down to paper, send them to our list, and see where we can take it from there. And we should have quite a long list, hopefully. So, you know, then we can make tracks on that. But that's the suggestion I would make. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Olivier. Thanks, Olivier. And I think yes, indeed. Does anybody want to? Do you all want to use the wiki for this, or do we want to try to do a Google Doc? I'm thinking a wiki might be sufficient at this point, at least in these early stages.
Wiki would sound great. It's Olivier speaking. Okay. Wiki would sound great. Yeah. If everyone's okay with it.
Yeah. Well, I'm seeing nobody objecting objecting to that. So let's just use the wiki. I'm seeing, okay, Gordon agrees, Murray agrees. Okay, so let's use the wiki. And I think we've we've started this process of thinking of, okay, what are our problems? It's clear that we all agree that the current policy management process within ICANN is insufficient. So let's start documenting some of these issues. So I think we'll let's create a separate wiki page underneath the recommendation 26. So you could just start documenting. Start to create a wiki page for documenting the current policy management processes so that we can all start commenting about how they are insufficient. And I think a lot of this stuff will be brought up in this call today. And I think also the second action item would be let's find out some more about how the policy development process works at the RIR level, and see what systems they are using to track policy comments and so forth. And maybe there are certain things that ICANN should be doing. Okay. Any final thoughts, comments? Glenn, go ahead.
I'm sorry to do this on you, Dev, but we did have a meeting earlier this week, and Mary and I were asked to contact the Ombudsman on his communication. I just want to report to the group very quickly that I did chat to him, believe it or not. I don't know, he must have been insomniac, but the same day he contacted me, and I posted my comments on the conversation with him. It's to do with how he's using social media effectively or ineffectively. So if you guys have time, you want to read my notes. But Mary and I will continue to follow on a second call with him.
Okay, indeed. I must say it's very good that so much progress is made. So, you know, usually it would have been we have to write a letter, email, and send it. And it's glad that you were able to have a quick dialogue with him. Almost instantly over in such a short time. So that's great work, Glenn, and to Murray.
The reason I'm pointing this out, guys, is that he said he's going to be meeting with Laura, who's the with the ICANN IT team on a new template. So this is perfect timing, because if we can impress upon them that whatever he rolls out, that we can see it from a social media technology task force, from everything from synchronization of his Facebook and Twitter, the size of the font, the use of pictures and video. I think it was an eye opener for him. See, that's why the dialogue is important.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Oh, excellent. Okay, great. This is Dave. Thanks to Glenn and Murray on that. So it's good to see some immediate impact happening there. Just one more final thing. I don't know if we want to have more special purpose calls. This is probably one of the last item here on recommendation 26. So that we will have a special purpose call just to deal with recommendation 26. And if so, what type of schedule would we want to do it on? Okay. Let's see. Waiting to see what people are saying. Yes to the special purpose call. I'm seeing yes from Gordon. Yes to from Kitamura. Yes from Glenn Knight. Okay. Okay, Murray says time limited, but keep him in the loop on that. Sure. Okay, so I think we will try to do another special purpose call on recommendation 26, given the complexity of this, this elephant, as Glenn referred to it earlier. I'll send out a doodle. Just let me ask you a question. It's November 14th. Do you want to have it, next week, or do you want to have it on, the 28th? And we just try to make sure we have something put up on the wiki by then. So is the 28th okay? Or do you think we need to have it sooner?
28 okay for me,
okay.
Olivier. I'm in the aircraft now.
Okay, excellent. All right, seeing nobody objecting, okay, tentatively next call will be on the 28th, and we'll do a doodle poll, I'm sure, from staff to get the appropriate time on that. Okay, I think we can, and I see a green ticks all around. So, okay, I'd like to thank everybody for this, and look forward. It's a very good call, and good afternoon, good evening, and this call is now adjourned. Thank you. And safe flight, Olivier.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good weekend.